Most time with a message, there's two issues that you have with it, the beginning and the end. The middle usually takes care of itself. But today is Father's Day. You know, we all probably love to honor our fathers, love to have memory of our fathers. And I know that sometimes it's kind of hard for some of us because the issues that we have with it, the things that we miss our fathers so much. And it's easy sometimes to just kind of get busy in life, isn't it? I think back to when my father was in a nursing home for many, many years. And I probably didn't go see him as much as I should have back then because of all the things going on with raising a family and doing things. But I'm going to tell you something I want to talk about today is the benefits of God our Father. The benefits that we have from God our Father. And God is our Father. We read that verses in Matthew chapter 6, and that's why we read them, because Jesus talked about praying to our Father which art in heaven. God is our Father if we accept His Son and the salvation that God has supplied. He becomes our Father. We become His child. You know, I know that God loves all people. But you know what? He's not a father to all people. He's a father to those that accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'm glad that we can call God our Father. And I'm glad that God gives us the opportunity to become His child. I was born into a family and I couldn't choose that father that I had. I'm not saying I wouldn't have, but I'm just saying I couldn't choose that. But we do choose to make God our Father by accepting Jesus, don't we? And I believe that you and I need to realize and recognize that today we do need to honor our fathers. We do need to have memory of our fathers. Think about some of the benefits that our fathers gave to us. And I was thinking about something in my life this week. You might be like me when I was the oldest child. And my family only had one car for years and years and years, right? That's the way it was back then. Mom and Dad shared a car. They both worked two different places. They shared a car. I don't know how they did it. Because in our day and age, we barely can make it sometimes with two cars, right? One for each one. But when I turned 16, my dad went and bought another car so that I'd have something to drive. Oh, the benefits of a father, right? Things that a father does for us. And I thought of this, and I don't know how this is going to tie in, but I'm going to try to tie it in. When I was in my early teens, my dad didn't go to church. My dad didn't do anything like that. And his life wasn't living for God at all at that time. Now, I remember saying something to my mom one day, never forgot this. But I says, you know, Dad never helps you at the house. My dad didn't wash a dish. My dad didn't wash any clothes. My dad didn't do any cooking unless Mom was sick. And my dad had all three of us boys that were there at the time go in there and start peeling potatoes so he could make potato soup. So when Mom was sick, we had potato soup. Now, I don't remember much about that potato soup, but there's a lot of meals my mom fixed that I remember a lot of those. But when I said it to my mom that day, she looked at me and she said, your dad works hard at his job. And he supplies the needs for this family with his income coming in. My mom didn't say anything bad about my dad. Even though I made that comment, and I've never forgot that. Even though I probably was about 12 or 13 at the time. But you see, we need to respect and we need to honor our Father. But you realize here in Matthew chapter 6, I want to speak a little bit about that, and then I'm going to turn to my main message. This is going to be the introduction, and hopefully it won't be too long. But in Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that we're to pray to our Father, do you realize that in verses 1 through 15 here, 8 times he mentions either your Father, thy Father, or our Father? 8 times in 15 verses he talks about this. And I think I looked it up, and I kind of think I remember this, but I think the Lord Jesus mentioned about God the Father about 165 times. 165 times. You know, we think of the Lord God Almighty, but how often do we think of God as our Father? Our Father that takes care of us, that does things for us. Our fathers, when we're young children, they have to do things for us that we can't do for ourselves. As we're growing up, our fathers teach us things. Our fathers do things with us. And I try to even do that now with my grandsons. I try to show them things, teach them things. I mean, Levi's riding with me on the mower a lot, and I'm showing them this tree is this kind and this kind, that kind. Just little things that we do with them. It's just teaching. and being the father that God the Father wants to be to you and I. He wants to share a lot of things with us, but how often do we allow him to? How often do we let him? But here in these verses, I want you to realize a few things, and then we'll get into our message. But all the verses here show that we're to have a relationship with God. We're to call God our Father. We're to recognize God as our Father, and we're to have an intimate relationship. Why did he mention that word Father 8 times in these 15 verses? He's telling us that he's our Father. He's thy Father. He's letting us know that we need to have a relationship. We need to have an intimate relationship. Then also in verse 6 where I read that he says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father. We're to communicate with him. We're to speak with him. We're to talk with him. I don't do that enough. I don't know about you, but I don't pray to God enough. I don't pray to God, my Father, as often as I should. But we need to seek him out. We need to pray to him. We need to talk to him. We need to be what we ought to be with him. Also, in verse 6, it says, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God the Father loves us unconditionally. He's going to reward us openly. No matter that we go to him in secret, we go to him behind a closed door, God rewards us openly. Doesn't he do that? Yes, he does that each and every day of our lives. We wouldn't have these clothes that we have on except it be the grace and the will of God. We wouldn't be able to breathe the air we breathe except for God. All the things that we have, he gives us unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. But also in verse 8, he says, be not ye therefore likened to them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. Have you ever been to somebody and you're going to ask them something and they say, I knew you were already going to ask that. I knew you were already going to do that. I knew that this was going to happen. I've had it happen to me a couple of times. I won't get into those right now. I'm thinking about them, but I'll just let them go by. But, you know, God our Father knows what we need before we ask. Nothing's ever occurred to him, has it? Nothing just happened to be there and God said, oh, there it is. No, God knows everything that we need. And he supplies that need. He takes care of that need. We have benefits from God the Father. There's another scripture that I want you to see before we get off this point. But in John chapter 20, this is when Mary is looking for Jesus at the tomb. It says in verse 11 of John 20, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. Even after Jesus' resurrection, he looks at Mary and he says, hey, don't touch me yet. Now, I don't believe he was just saying don't touch. I believe she was wanting to grab him. I believe she was wanting to put a bear hug on him. Don't you think so? Mary seeing Jesus after he's been crucified on the cross, he's resurrected, he's alive. I think she's wanting to put a bear hug on him, and he's saying, whoa, 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 you can't hold me here. I got other things I got to do. I got to go to my Father. Don't do that right now. I'm going to my Father, your Father. I'm going to my God, your God. Aren't you glad that we have a heavenly Father that we can go to? Then I want to read 1 John chapter 3. A familiar chapter, familiar verse, familiar scriptures that we all know. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're the children of God now. Now. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God, the Heavenly Father. And I'm glad that God made it to be that way. I didn't, but God did. Because of what He did with Jesus Christ. Because of what He's doing for you and I now. Because of what He's going to do for us in the future. You see, we are the children of God. Now, thinking about benefits of God the Father. What do you think is a benefit of God the Father? You know, if we were to sit down and take a piece of paper, or three pieces of paper, and you start writing things, I'll tell you to write things that you know about Jesus Christ as a benefit. You could write a lot of things probably. If I told you to write some things about the Holy Spirit, that you'd write a lot of things. But if I told you to write some benefits that we get from God the Father, would you think there'd be many you'd write on that page? Probably have to sit and think about it a little bit, wouldn't you? But you know, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Therefore, this is hard for us to understand sometimes. Even though they're three beings, even though there's three, they're all the same. They're all one. I can't explain all that. I'll tell you this. I've got a brother that's 8 years younger than me. And when we go visit some of my dad's family sometimes, every time they see him, they say, as long as he's alive, Morris Fox is still alive. My dad, he's still alive because he looks so much like him. He also has actions like him sometimes and does things like him. But you know, God the Father tells us that we are His children. Therefore, we should be as His child. But some of the benefits that He gives us. I know you recognize that John 3:16 is a benefit, right? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. John 3:16, I didn't say that one right, but you know what I'm saying. Jesus Christ is our Savior. But also in John 14, the Bible tells us that the Lord God Almighty sends the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit wouldn't came without Jesus going back to heaven and Jesus telling God the Father, you can send the Spirit now. Send them another comforter now. Send them that other comforter that they need. And I'm surely glad that we have those. I'm surely glad that we do have these today. Now go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Here's where I really want to go to today. Here's what I want to talk about a little bit today. And we'll cut this off when we need to. Or when we feel like we should. But I'm glad that we're here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we do praise Thy holy name. Lord, we do thank You for being God our Father. We do thank You for all the things that You do for us, all the benefits that You give us. Oh Lord God, I praise Thy holy name for Thy goodness, Thy mercy, Thy grace You bestowed upon our lives, Your salvation that's in Jesus. Oh, thank You for that. But Lord God, I do pray that You help each one of us here today. Lord, if there's any here today that don't know You as Savior, I pray today would be their day of salvation. Lord, those of us that are here today that know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that we'll get closer to You. Lord, we'll draw a little closer to God the Father today. We'll draw in where You want us to be. Lord, I pray You'd help us as Jesus was teaching us back in Matthew 6, that we'd communicate with You, that we'd do our best to recognize all the things that You do for us and praise Thy holy name. Lord God, I pray that You be with the pastor. Lord, I pray You'd help him, comfort him, be with him. Lord, bring him back according to Thy will. Keep him safe. And Melina too. Lord, I do pray that You'd be with each member of this church. Lord, You know the needs in each heart and each life. Lord, there's many that are hurting today. Lord, comfort their hearts. Reach in their life and give them what they need. And I know that You're doing that. Lord God, help us to recognize You today in our lives. Lord, bless as You see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 103, let's read this psalm today. It starts out with, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, all ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's reading Psalm 103. 22 verses of Psalm 103. Not one time in these verses is there a request made. The psalmist is not coming to the Lord God Almighty at this time with request. He's coming to the Lord God Almighty and praising and thanking him and blessing the Lord. You know, a lot of times I think about this, and I thought about this many times over my life. And when I was reading some study and doing for this, it was written in some of the commentaries that I read. But you know, we can't really bless the Lord. What can we give to the Lord God Almighty? The only thing that we can give him is the praise and honor and glory that he desires, that he wants from us. You and I can't give God anything, right? If we share a dollar or two with him, what's that going to do for God? He can go create a whole room full of gold coins, right? God can do whatever he wants, but he's only going to do what's right. I know that because God is righteous. God is righteous. But you see where it says here, bless the Lord, O my soul. We're to bless the Lord, but we're not to just do it outwardly. We're to do it from the soul. We're to do it from the inside. Let the inside of our hearts, the inside of our bodies, our whole dwelling, our whole being, bless the Lord. Then he says, all that is within me, everything, not just some of it, but everything that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Then he says, bless his holy name. Here's the thing that a lot of people forget. And I've watched some church services sometimes on TV, and they're hollering and jumping up and down doing stuff. But you know what? We come to bless the Lord God Almighty. We're to recognize that he is holy. We're in the presence of a holy God. A holy God. And don't get me wrong. Sometimes we all get happy. Boy, I get happy sometimes. And I can't hold the tears back. I'm thinking about the goodness of God, the blessings that God's given us. We're to recognize his holiness when we come into his presence. We're to recognize that God is holy. And he wants us to worship him in a holy manner. A manner that'll honor him. A manner that'll glorify him. Not just some matter of making other people feel good. We're to do it for God. Do it unto God. Do it for God's pleasure. The way God would want to see it done. Too many times the churches today are all saying, y'all, you can come as you are and you can be what you want to be and do what you want to do. And that's what people do. And they go back home and they really didn't get anything from God, right? They haven't changed their lives. But the Lord God Almighty wants us to become his child. He wants to change our lives. He wants to change our being. He wants us to recognize that he is holy. He is holy. Then in verse 2, which is the main point that I was going to try to bring out today, is bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You notice it doesn't say remember. It says forget not. Now, have you ever forgotten anything? I've never forgotten anything in my life. Don't go ask my wife now. She'll tell you I probably forgot something this morning. But you know, a lot of times we forget things. And I believe there's a lot of moments in my life when I forget about the benefits of the Lord God Almighty. Wow. The benefits that God our Father has given to us, given to you and me. I probably cannot recall all the things that my earthly father did for me. I know one thing that he did for me, taught me how to work. And I've never forgotten that.
And my wife will tell you now, I used to talk about my dad working in his garden and hoeing that garden and hoeing that garden. And what do I do now? I go out and I hoe that garden best that I can. But I tell you this, we need not forget the benefits of God our Father. All the things that God our Father is doing for us, has done for us, and is going to do for us. Look at the next verse. It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Here's a benefit. God the Father forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, you notice that word forgiveth? What is it? What tense is it in? Perfect present tense, meaning it's still continuing. It's still going on. Forgiveth. Forgiveth. When you and I got saved, we went to the Lord God Almighty and asked Him to forgive us of our sins and for Jesus to come in our life and to be our Savior. But you know what? Forgiving us of our sins didn't stop just there, did it? Why? Not because of God. Because you and I still have that sinful nature inside of us. You and I still do sinful things. But God the Father still forgives us today. Doesn't He do that? Look at 1 John chapter 1. I know you know this. 1 John chapter 1 begins verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Into chapter 2 it says, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Why in the world? People can teach that Jesus only died for some when the Bible tells us plainly right here that it's the sins of the whole world. The whole world. Who does that include? That includes you. That includes me. But when you and I have sin today, God still forgives us if we go to Him and ask Him to forgive us. You know something that I read this week, which I expect could be true, I don't know, said that a lady was talking with a priest and was telling the priest that Jesus talked to her a lot. She talked with Jesus a lot. And this priest says, well, I don't know about that. Let me question her. Let me find out. So this priest knew that he had sin in his life. And he says, okay, when you go to Jesus and talk to Him, I want you to ask Him, what sin does your priest have or has your priest had in his life? So says later when he ran into that lady again, he asked her, says, did you talk to Jesus? Did you ask Him about what sin? Said the lady looked at him and says, He didn't remember any sin in your life. You know, the Bible tells us that God forgets our sin, doesn't He? When He puts our sin away, and we read these verses, it says, as far as the east is from the west. Does the east and the west ever meet? If you start going east, you won't ever stop going east. You start going west, you won't ever stop going west. But if you go north, you're going to start going south sometime or another. Right? But the Bible tells us that as far as the east is from the west, puts our sins away and He doesn't remember them anymore. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that it says He forgiveth all thine iniquities? Then it says here that He heals all our diseases. All our diseases. You know, I'm glad that this says, who healeth all thy diseases. And again, it's the perfect present tense. He healeth. He healeth. Now, you and I, sometimes I've read two or three commentaries. I read different things about this, and I've had some of them contradict the other one. So here's some foxology that I'll give you, okay? This is just my thoughts. But when it says He healeth thy diseases, He healeth all our diseases, whether they're physical or whether they're spiritual. Some commentaries said they were physical, some commentaries said they were spiritual, and some commentaries argued back and forth at the points that I read. But I believe He heals them all. What am I talking about? Well, what's some of the spiritual diseases that we have? We have guilt, we have fear, we have doubt, we have depression, we have anger, we have lust, we have hate, we have jealousy, we have greed. Do you have problems with any of these today? Boy, do I. Do I? I have these problems, but God healeth them today. What am I saying? Hey, when we have these issues, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father speaks to us and lets us know that we need to take care of that. We need to do something about that disease that we have, that greed
issue that we have with fear, that issue that we have with lust, whatever it is, but also the physical diseases. I believe that God the Father is the healer of all diseases. Of all diseases. You know, and how does he do that? How does he heal? Look at Psalm 107 and verse 20. Psalm 107 verse 20 says this, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The way that God heals our diseases is from his word. From his word. Do you have a problem with something? Get into God's word. Start looking for it. Start checking it out. God's word will take care of it. Whatever you have a problem with. Whatever you have an issue with. And I believe that even through his word, he can heal. Look at a scripture. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13 for a second. If you don't think God, remember I said God and Jesus were the same, right? But if you don't remember that God can heal through his word, look at this. Matthew 8, beginning with verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I believe that Jesus, God the Father, can speak a word and heal diseases, be them spiritual, be them physical. He can do it. The Word of God shows us that. Jesus said, you have your faith, you have your belief, therefore I won't come to your house. I'll just speak the word. So, we see this, he healeth our diseases. But look at verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? You see, you and I need to realize that we are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord God Almighty, our life from destruction. You know, why does it say here, he redeemeth? Why is it saying it's continual tense? Why is it continual? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And here's why I think he's saying he redeemeth thy life from destruction. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. You know, you and I need to realize that it says here in verse 8, that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Why does it say there in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? We know that we're saved from destruction. We're not going to hell because we trusted and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's today still keeping us safe, even though we don't realize that he's redeeming our life, because the adversary, the devil, would want to consume us. He'd want to take us out of this church. He'd want to take us out of being with God's people. He'd want to take us away from being God's servant and doing God's will. Stay out of the word of God is what the devil would want us to do. The roaring lion walking about, but God gives us that desire. I'm glad God gave you the desire to be here today. I'm glad God gave me the desire to be here today, because we need to worship the Lord God Almighty. We need to worship God the Father. But you see, these things are going on that God gives us. that God gives us, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 4, it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, the loving kindness of God. We can't comprehend it. We can't even reach and touch about it for just a little bit because it is so great. It is so good. But the loving kindness that God gives to us. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, and I can't think where it is right now, but it talks about our fathers giving us gifts, but our fathers don't know how to really give us gifts, but God the Father knows how to give us gifts. God the Father does things for us. His loving kindness to us, it might not be what we think it ought to be, but God's doing things lovingly for us and to us, whether we recognize it or not, whether we realize it or not. You and I, we are where we are because of God. We are what we are because of God. We just need to recognize his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Look at Psalm 63, verse 3. Talk about the loving kindness of God. Psalm 63, 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Loving kindness is better than life. Also look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 10 through 13. It says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. You see what it says here? Even in verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquity have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. The loving kindness and the tender mercies of the Lord God Almighty. Then look at verse 5. Verse 5 in Psalm 103 says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now I'll tell you something. I read some things about eagles this week. I read some things, and again, I'll tell you some things that I read. One place said it was never true. One place says that it is, but I don't know. But what I read was this. An eagle, when he reaches 30 to 40 years, they say that he starts renewing himself. Takes out his feathers and grows new feathers because his feathers are hard to fly at that time, and he could live another 30 or 40 years. But I don't know. But that's what I've read. But either way, here's what I think. Here's what I think. This verse says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You and I are growing older, aren't we? We're getting older day by day. But you know what? As long as we have the Lord God Almighty, as long as we have God the Father in our life, we can be renewed day by day. But let me mention something to you. Old people that don't know the Lord don't have the satisfaction of life that we have, do they? If the Bible says here, satisfy thy mouth, isn't it hard to satisfy our mouth sometimes? Today at my house, we're going to have a cookout out here. We're going to make some homemade ice cream, and I probably won't get enough of that homemade ice cream to satisfy my mouth. But you know what? The Lord God Almighty, or God our Father, can satisfy our mouth day by day by day, no matter what age we are. And we can be renewed like the eagle. If that eagle gets up and flies way up high, he's just soaring around doing what God designed him to do. He's renewed in the Lord. And you and I, no matter what our age, no matter what our life, no matter where we are, we can be renewed by God the Father because he satisfied our mouth. Now, I'd read that word mouth there really is talking about older age, but I don't know. I can't get into the real Hebrew sometimes, but I do know this. We do have a hard time being satisfied. I told somebody this morning, there's times when we look around and we say, Lord, we sure do need some rain. And sometimes I'm like me right now. I'm saying, Lord, I sure would like to get in my garden and get some of that grass out of there, but it keeps raining. But praise the Lord for the rain. Praise God for all that he does for us. Praise God for his goodness. All right, we have these benefits of God. We have these things. I'll stop with this one. But there's other things in this same psalm that we can read and we can talk about. But what are we to do with them? With these benefits that we have of God, what are we to do? Go over to Psalm 116. I'm going to answer that question with the Word of God, which is what I love to try to do. I love to use the Word of God. I need to use it more in my life, and God help me to do that. But Psalm 116, begin with verse 12. I hope you got it there, and I hope you see it, but look what it says. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Verse 13 says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaiden. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 116 answered what we're to do with the benefits that we have from the Lord God Almighty, from God our Father. It says, I'll pay my vows in the Lord now in the presence of all His people. It says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. That's the first thing you need. You can't become a child of God if you're not saved. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you cannot become a child of God. But it says, I will take the cup of salvation. And also in verse 17, it says, I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Those of us that are saved, we need to praise Him. We need to give Him thanksgiving, but we need to call upon Him. We need to have that relationship that the Lord Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 6. We need to talk to Him. We need to get in our closets. We need to talk to the Lord God Almighty, our God, our Father. We need to praise His name. But where does it say we need to do that at? It says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, here at church, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem, I believe that's talking about in public, in Jerusalem, we need to praise Ye the Lord. Everywhere we are, we need to praise God the Father for His almighty works, His almighty benefits that He gives us in our life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise His holy name.